Thursday. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
What happened?
I'm just I'm laughing at what I'm still laughing at what how we ended yesterday. That's pretty much how it's still to this day. I laughed the whole time.
There's literally, I'll just send some of them to you. I've seen some great ones. Like there's one where it's somebody like literally at like a president's grave. I forget which one it is. Like Woodrow Wilson. Like at Woodrow Wilson's grave. And they're literally just going like Rick and Morty, Rick and Morty. It's so fucking stupid. It's so funny. God damn.
Hashtag the struggle is real, you guys.
That's funny.
A little inside joke for you folks that probably didn't get that unless you were with us that weekend.
Kev, what'd you end up watching? Anything interesting?
I've been super busy and unable to watch much, but I am caught up on Ted Lasso, so we could talk about that if you'd like.
Good.
And I'm, as far as I know, I'm caught up on What If, at least the first three episodes of that, and that's been fantastic as well. Yeah, but other than that, I've been trying to play video games, just trying to keep busy like that. I think I'm almost finished with 12 minutes. There's a lot of trial and error in that game. It's really cool. I only had to look up like one part where I was completely stuck and couldn't figure it out. But I'm really enjoying it for it being such a repetitive game. It's still got quite a narrative to it. If you're not familiar with it, it's on Xbox Game Pass and it stars Willem Dafoe, Daisy Ridley and James McAvoy. And it's pretty fun, man. It's a pretty interesting game. It's just, this guy's in a time loop stuck in his apartment and he's trying to like, it's just, there's a cop that keeps it coming in, trying to arrest your wife. And just, it's wild. It's wild stuff. But I enjoy that. Like I said yesterday, I was playing more Watch Dogs. I'm going through the main story on that. Actually, they just included Assassin's Creed DLC, which was cool because you do a set number of side missions and then you unlock an assassin for like on your team. And it's got like the full, like it, instead of an eagle that flies overhead for you, searching everything out, it's a drone. You have that and you've got like special like stealth abilities for just specifically for that character. And it kind of just confirms that this is all in the same universe, I guess, you know, like Watch Dogs takes place in the same universe as the Templars and the Assassins Guild. So it's pretty cool, man. I like that aspect and I like that they added that. Other than that, I think that's pretty much all I've done this week. I played more Rocket League, just enjoying this season, but still doing terrible at it, but enjoying it. And that's pretty much all I did this week.
Nice. What about you, Doug?
Nope. I haven't really played anything. I'm trying to think. Like, we haven't really done a Red Dead night in a while, which is, it was fine. I think we're all starting to get a little burnt out on it. I've been working on like Saga stuff at night and watching Daniel and B and Caleb play Hunt Showdown. Nice. Mm-hmm. Jerry, I do just want to say real fast to you, fuck you.
Why?
I watched Val.
Oh, thank God. I'm so happy you did. How many times did you cry?
So I didn't really cry. I didn't cry, but I just utterly heartbroken.
Uh-huh.
In like the first like 5 minutes, mm-hmm. because you know we've seen Val Kilmer at conventions and we've commented like, because we've known that like he's been not super public, but around that time it was very clear that he was having issues like cancer, throat cancer or whatever it was, sort of like issues. And so like his face was swollen and some of the, like this, you know, I don't think we saw him in person, but we saw photos like on his Instagram and his Twitter about like, hey, headed to Texas. And like his jaw was swollen.
Yeah. They kind of kept him behind, like they showed in the movie, they kind of kept him behind a booth. Mm-hmm. So that way you couldn't see him publicly.
Yeah. And then, so the movie starts and it's his son narrating. It's his son reading the stuff. Like, and I was like, I don't know, and so I was like, man, how bad is his voice? And then And then you find out how he doesn't have a voice anymore.
Yeah, he can't speak. It's
a bummer. He almost sounds like the dude from South Park, but without the vocalizer, but he plugs a hole in his throat. Mm-hmm. He's got a plastic tube into his throat and he has to plug it to talk. And so
it's worse than this.
But like that's kind of, you know, it's absolutely heartbreaking from a man who made his, you know, his living, his life on the screen delivering dialogue, and just how like fortuitous in a way that he did just happen to like be obsessed with video cameras and keeping a camera on him at all times, that you literally had some astounding like behind the scenes stuff, like him just laying into the director of The Island of Dr. Moreau, like literally just like, turn that camera off. No, I need, this is here to protect me. Protect you from what? From you. Because you're here threatening to quit, and I'm just going to make sure that I'm protected. Should you do something? Like,
it's wild.
Something's just wild. And yeah, so good. Highly recommend. How did
you, like, when you watch the comic con scene, were you just like, oh my God, like, my heart sank again when I watched that? And I was like, oh my God. I had tears in my eyes.
Yeah. Well, it was also like, been there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. I wish I had someone to throw a blanket over my head and wheel me out of a comic convention sometimes. Just get me the fuck out of here. Right.
But
yeah, it's just.
Even through everything that he's been through, he still has that childlike heart. And like you see him, like he's still playful and fun, and he falls over on purpose just to fuck with someone.
His kid, yeah, his son, yeah. He like literally falls over and doesn't move, and you literally the son like puts the camera down. He's like, Dad, and he's just like, like you fucking, and his son's like, you fucking asshole.
And he goes,
he's
like, gotcha, it was funny. It's so funny. Yeah,
son of a bitch.
But yeah, he yeah. Oh my God. And then Ed texted me when he watched it, and he was like, I was fucking crying when he was like, I miss you, mommy. And I was just like, God. Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
I
like,
miss my mama.
Yeah, my mama.
And yeah, I was like, oh, fuck. Just, yeah. Because she passed away not just like a year or two ago. And again, they had all that footage from all that stuff, and yeah, it's talking about his family and his brother dying at like 15, like Jesus fucking Christ.
But it
I was gonna say, one of the things I thought was just really interesting, where he was like, it talks about everyone dreams of being Batman, no one dreams of playing Batman in a movie, right? Yeah, like everyone dreams of being Batman, no one, I don't think anybody dreams of playing him in a movie, because I guess I was talking about how fucking shitty it was.
Mm-hmm. The interesting part was that even though parts of it were so sad, there's something that like very heartwarming about it and uplifting at the same time.
Yeah,
you know, I was listening to an interview with the directors of that. And they said how hard it was to put together a narrative that to choose. And they finally landed on this. And because there's so much footage that they never even got a chance to, like, they said that they sat there for hundreds of hours pouring through just a fraction of the footage that they have. And, they said that, yes, there's ultimately we could do 14, 15 other movies about behind the scenes stuff of like everything he's done in his whole life and everything. And so they said that with the success of Val, that they think they're going to be able to put together some more movies. So
good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. They walk into that warehouse and it's kind of like an Indiana Jones style. Like there, you expect to see the Ark of the Covenant stashed in the middle of all these cases of tapes. It was just so much. And they literally like, they pull them down and it's like, I mean, they're super well organized. And it's like, okay, this one has Holidays 95 through Valentine's Day 96 or whatever. And you're just like, fucking Christ, there's 18 tapes in there. Mm-hmm. The fuck were you doing, Val Kilmer? The answer, recording literally everything.
and yeah, everything. What, when did he start? Did they say
while
when?
He was like he and his brothers would film movies when they were kids, and then like when he went to acting school, wherever he went, Juilliard or wherever the fuck Juilliard. He went, yeah. he took a camera with him. So there are literally like behind the scenes, like stuff of like some of the plays he was at when he was in acting school, as well as like him in class. There is a part where he's like literally reciting like something from Hamlet, and like his acting teacher in front of like the class is like, why did you do it that way? Well, I've never felt that loss before. Bullshit, you haven't. Like the human experience, everyone's experienced everything. Like, I don't ever want to hear that excuse. It's fucking garbage. You've experienced it whether you know it or not. Dig deep, find it. And it's like, and I think it even cuts to him like watching it, and he was like, I think he even said something like, damn, or like, yeah. Like what an asshole, or whatever. He said, I don't remember what he said, but very good. And but yeah, there's just so much fucking footage, it's ridiculous.
And it really shines a light into the way that he prepared for his roles and everything, and like what he sacrificed, and the it kind of takes away this persona that he was an asshole in Hollywood. Yeah. Cause that's how everybody was always hard to work with. And it's not that really? He's hard to work with. It's the fact that he was a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So,
well, and it even cut to like other interviews of people being like, oh yeah, you hear that he's, you know, terrible to work for, but like, I had a fucking blast working with him, you know, like Robert Downey Jr. and stuff when they did, oh my God, that movie, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, Locks. Oh, Lock. No, I know what one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever one they did.
I know.
Well, it wasn't Lock, Stuck, and Two Smoking. I know that's what you're about to say, but it was something like that. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Yeah, Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. It was Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, it was great. And then, yeah, it's all that. I mean, there were times when I had, okay, so I have one of my like best friends growing up, like moved to New York, went to acting school. I think he's in LA now. He was for a while. I mean, he's kind of flighty, but like there are times when Val Kilmer reminded me of him where it was just kind of that like, like a little bit like, all right, bud, you pretentious little shit. But
it was also heartbreaking when he went to when he did the movie screening of Tombstone, and he's like sitting there talking about how people are celebrating his past, like he's like, and he, you know, and I'm just like, fuck me, man. It's like he goes, I want to do stuff now, but all, and he's like, it got me sad for a while because people only wanted to talk about the stuff that I was in, like I was gone, and he was like, I had to change my thinking of it, like these are the fans who keep me around and stuff. But he said at first it really depressed him. But
makes sense, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, think about being in a band on tour and then like all people want to hear is the old shit and not like the new stuff you're making. It makes sense.
But it made me think about all the
showing them.
Made me think about all the Comic-Con people that we go and see and stuff, and it's just like, yeah, this is how they make a fucking living, and like everyone lives on their past. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I we've definitely heard people talk about like, you know, like I wish they knew me for more than just that one role that I did and that one thing, but then they go to a Comic-Con and they walk away with like a couple $1 million from autographs and photos and shit, and then they're like, okay,
they're like, right. I guess it was good. I'm
right. Okay, all right, well that's gonna pay for
not so bad.
No. Anyways, I watched that was good. American Horror Story's back, it's been fun.
I just have to start that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other things I watch because I've been getting, like, in the middle of a series, like waiting for new episodes to drop. Ted Lasso has been fucking great. And I started the next Stormlight Archive book, Words of Radiance, which I'm about 10 hours into that. It's like 50 hours long, so woo, making progress.
Nice.
I think that's all I wanted to talk about. There was something like last week. I was like, oh man, I meant to mention that I watched this show and I don't remember what it was now. Maybe it wasn't Val. I don't remember. If it comes to me, I'll say something.
It makes me so happy that you actually watched it. I was like, fuck man, it never takes my fucking recommendations.
Because I watch a lot of like series and not movies at work. So I watch, that's why I'll just go through all these TV shows and even like docuseries and stuff. But when it's like a movie, it's like I was hoping this would be a docuseries because it's like you have 50 years of tapes.
Yeah. That would have been nice. That would have been really nice.
So. Yeah.
I watched a couple movies. Sweet Girl was one of them. That's the new one with Jason Momoa, and has Isabella Merced in it. And so, I really enjoyed it. It was not well received, but I actually enjoyed it. And there's a fun little twist in it and everything. And I thought it was a pretty good movie. So,
nice.
And then what else did I watch? I watched some other show.
I can tell you something that you watched.
Oh, a show I've watched, which I'm only three episodes. Oh, what did I watch? Sorry, go ahead.
Encino Man.
Oh yeah, we watched Encino Man. That was good.
Encino Man. And we watched The Mummy one night too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thanks, Daniel. That was Daniel.
Yeah, we were on our Brendan Fraser kick. We were almost going to watch Airheads too. We'll see. The week is still young.
Yeah, continue, Jer.
I am 19 episodes into Arrested Development.
Dope.
So have you met Marta at this point?
Yes.
Marta?
Yes.
Okay. Marta is the sexy ass bitch from The Mummy.
Really?
The very beginning of The Mummy. Yup. The one that like that Imhotep like was having an affair with, and then he kills her husband, and then like she gets buried alive, and then he gets buried alive or whatever. That's her.
Wow.
That's Marta from Arrested Development.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. Yeah.
And then you remember Pistol Pete?
I think so.
Was it Pistol Pete?
Yeah, you went to high school with him. Yeah, it was Pistol Pete.
from Parks and Rec. Also in The Mummy. He's like the local like basketball legend.
Yeah, the hometown hero.
The hometown hero. They get him to do the when she's running for city council and he goes out on the ice and I think he breaks a leg or something when he's trying to
slam dunk.
And he's one of those people who's like, I wish they would remember me for like who I am now and not for what I did when I was in high school.
Yep.
Ridiculous. Anyways, he's a character on Parks and Rec and he too is in The Mummy. He's the guy who gets his eyes and tongue ripped out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic show, and I'm so glad that I'm watching it. But I'm very upset that it took me this long to do so.
Yeah, ma'am.
And every time you watch it from here on out, because you will give them multiple watches, you're gonna notice a new joke every time. Like to this day, I still find stuff
a joke is gonna stand out to you in like season three, and you're gonna be like, ha ha ha, that's funny. And you're gonna go to season one, and you're gonna be like, oh my god, they laid the groundwork this early on. Fucking Christ.
I really have enjoyed what they have, their joke styles. The setups and the deliveries are absolutely phenomenal with how it's really smart comedy because they don't give you the joke. You have to figure out the joke. And they don't tell you like, and all of it is like, it just happens. And you're just like, yep, knew that was going to... Like kind of like I just finished the one where Michael meets the blind attorney. Mm-hmm.
The blind attorney.
And
and
Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Right. And so he goes into she's not blind, and then throws a Bible at her, but like one scene earlier, she goes temporarily blind.
She gets hit with a Bible in the courtroom in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that kind of joke to where it's like, it's just really smart and funny. So I'm really enjoying it. So, but that's about it. I've been playing, what's that game? Days Gone. Yeah. I've been playing that. Yeah. So far I really enjoy it. It's an open world game and a zombie game, and it's really difficult. You really have to conserve your ammo and stuff, which is really hard to do, but I'm enjoying that. So that's all I've been doing. So
nice.
And that's all.
You all caught up on Ted Lasso?
I'm all caught up. And the last episode was very well written. And that was actually written by Roy Kent himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so That was a very smart, witty, wonderful episode, and he did a absolute fantastic job. And it made me sad because, and I posted on Twitter because I was just like, oh my God, with every character, he captured emotions of one human being and highlighted them all with people. I thought that was also really smart, and it was well done. So
it was very good. Mm-hmm. Jared and I were texting last week because Kevin, I don't think he had caught up yet, but we were like, oh my God, who the fuck is Rebecca texting?
Yeah.
Because like, they make it seem like it's going to be Ted. And then a motherfucking Sam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a good swerve.
That was a nice swerve. It kind of sucks because I feel like if she found out, she'd be like mortified. Mm-hmm. And I feel he's such a godsend of a character. He's just so fucking pure.
Also, like at the beginning of the season, there was an interaction between her and him because he basically brought up her niece's like self-esteem, remember? Mm-hmm. And like it's her niece's favorite player. So I like how they kind of laid the groundwork early in the second season. I feel like they are probably going to get together because, I mean, she wants someone who she can talk to. I know it may seem weird, but I'm sure they'll both come to the realization they still had all this conversation and rapport, and they'll probably get together by the end of the season.
Yeah, we'll see. I like how they handled the Nate situation. I mentioned that when I called this way earlier in the season about like how with Roy coming in on to coach, because you need someone to coach Jamie, and I thought that he gave Jamie the perfect fucking advice. But also, like, there was the Nate problem of Nate already suffers from like just poor self-esteem, so how is he going to react when Roy Kent comes on, because he's going to feel like he's being replaced? And there was definitely a lot of that in this last episode. And then I'm glad that they gave him that episode to where he kind of got his confidence just to get a table when he had that whole thing with Rebecca, and they were like, you know, fucking get what you want, take, you know, like be assertive, find your inner strength. And so then like everything's kind of going to shit right in that moment. And he spits, and then he was like, "Bark the boss," or whatever, and he took control, and he got them the win. And so it was a good moment for Nate. When we were rewatching it before season two, like even from the beginning, like I don't know why, but Nate, just the whole storyline with him in season one really like struck a chord with me. Mm-hmm. Just the like, he knows my name, he remember my name, like, because he thinks so little of himself that Ted came in and like wanted to know about him and his family and his life, and like wanted his opinion on the sport, and knew his name meant so much to him, and just watching him just grow as a character and like in that first season. So to see him continue kind of a even though it's a little bit different of a path, but like the, all right, man, you've proven you know the sport like very well. Mm-hmm. You've proven that you have a mind for it, like do it then, like put it to use, you become the coach, become a coach. And to see him like excel, even if it was just like one move that, but it won them the game, is super exciting.
That's all that matters. Yeah. Especially cause they've gone so long just tying at best. I think, wasn't this their first win, or was it?
No, this was like, no, they mentioned after Roy Kent coming in, they won that game, and then they obviously won this game too.
Yeah. I think it was a 4-game win streak is what the news channel was saying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause they kind of picked up a couple weeks in after.
Yeah.
And just the, like, you know why you were good? It's because you were a dick. You need to be a dick sometimes.
Yeah. I like their sign that they gave him. All the coaches just flipping him off.
And he's like, huh? Just the you're going to foul me, and I'm going to score a free kick from all the way back here. And they're like, what? No, I'm not. And then he does exactly that, and then he scores.
It was, and like, Roy Kent called it too. He's like, oh, that prick's gonna score.
Yep.
He's gonna score from all the way back there. And they're all, even Coach Beard's like, no.
But I think it's perfect because it's exactly what Jamie needs, because Jamie, like, what, it was a selfish player and it hurt the team. But if you can have him be a team player for 80% of a match and then just let him be himself for the other 20, like, you're gonna fucking dominate. Mm-hmm. Because if he can pass the ball, then like he can score. You know what I mean? Like if he can do those two things and meld them together, dude, Jamie Tartt would be fucking unstoppable.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking about this like it's a real fucking person, but like
there is a real football club. Like, I mean, there is a real Richmond, which is hilarious that like they let them use so much of their resources.
No, there's not.
Is there?
No.
Is there not?
No. This is a fake team.
What is the tweet? That Twitter account's got more followers. It's got like 113,000 followers.
It's a complete fake team.
It's all just promotational stuff, Kev.
Yeah.
To make it look real. Well,
they fooled me.
And you
Ted Lasso, Ted Lasso tweets too.
Well, yeah, I know that, but I thought it was just him. I mean, I knew that, but I didn't
know.
Kev,
do you think this is the documentary series?
I don't follow Richmond. I mean, like, I don't follow football, so.
No one does.
Because it's fake.
We all do week to week.
Also, I do like the scene of the the dudes yelling in the bar, and they're like, "Will they turn off the football game?" They're like, "Oh, no, they're not watching that. They're watching a baking show.
They're watching Bake Off."
They start doing Bake Off chants.
But so you can go on.
I love those fans.
You can go on to and buy some AFC Richmond shirts and jerseys and everything. Like they have a ton of stuff. So. You can go
because they go up against like real teams though. Because I mean, in this episode, they went up against Tottenham Spurs, like Hotspur. So that's why I figured. I mean, once again, my assumptions, I guess, that they were a real team.
They just, they haven't said who they've replaced or like in the world of soccer. Mm-hmm. Did they play the Hot? That's weird. Because if they're in regulation, why did they play the Hotspurs? I guess maybe every once in a while, someone can tell me.
Oh. Because it was the tournament, and in the tournament,
yeah, it was the quarterfinals or something.
And so in the tournament, it's all of them together, and that's how you know, that's how they got.
Because they're still trying to get back to the Premier League, aren't they? Because this is at the end of season one, they got knocked out of it, so this is their way of getting back in. Also, I want to mention, man, Higgins has been a gem this absolute season. I love it. And I love this whole episode. He was kind of struggling because of Coach Beard. Like he wanted to tell Beard that it was a bad idea to keep getting back with his fling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone's like, don't do it. Don't tell him. Just go with it. Don't meddle. And kind of in the end, he does, and he gets a huge hug from Beard, and I thought that was kind of sweet. But I just love what he's done this season. Like, the Christmas episode was really sweet. You know, him hosting and, like, everyone showing up, you know, and they have this small table, you know, thinking only one or two players might show up. And to have, like, basically the whole team. That was
so sweet, yeah.
And then the French guy brings his girlfriend or whatever, or brings the girl, and the kids are just staring at her the whole time.
At some of this AFC Richmond stuff. Like,
you know what I love all this merch, but you know what they didn't need to do? They didn't need to add Ted Lasso to the bottom of the goddamn logo on everything.
Yeah,
it's not on the Roy Kent one.
No, it's not on the not on the on the kits, but it's definitely on the hoodie and the sweat, like all that stuff. And like,
you know what? I felt the same way about like the when, because it's WB, WBShop.com for those who are interested. When they were doing like Game of Thrones stuff, yeah, you'd get like, look at this like Winterfell, you know, House Stark flag that you can fly outside of your house, and it's like, you know, the direwolf head crest, right? And then like underneath it is like a banner that says Game of Thrones. Like, I don't fucking need, we know. I just want the fucking wolf. Like, that's what I want. I want the wolf or the dragon or, you know, whatever. Like, we all know. You don't have to put it on there. Like, I'm already a nerd. I want this house to, I don't want to give a shit about your show.
Right.
I don't care about House Stark. Like, fuck your show. Just tell me their shit.
Oh my God. You can do a personalized AFC Richmond jersey for $60. You can get your last name on it.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, the Roy Kent one's $60 also. Come with Roy Kent, man.
Yeah.
He's here. He's there. He's every fucking where. Roy Kent. Roy Kent.
Did you see that video I sent you earlier, the Richmond?
Oh, I love it. Did you see the one they did a couple weeks ago with Jamie Tartt?
When they taped
over Dubai Air or whatever. And they're asking him, it's the same thing where it's like one of these like post show sort of things. And they're like, you know, whose idea was it? And he was like, oh, you know, it was me and Sam. We decided to do it. You know, bring the team together. What do you think is going to happen when Dubai Air finds out and they start pulling sponsorships? Sam. It was Sam. It was all Sam's idea. It was Sam. Sam's the one who thought about it, and I just followed what he did. With the fans and stuff, you know, there's a huge uproar online. Everyone's really excited and supportive, and everyone's behind you and all stuff. Oh yeah, me and Sam, you know, we just love this, you know, we gotta do what's right. So fucking so Jamie Tart, just so wishy-washy.
All right. That's it for today.
Yeah, we'll stop talking about Ted Lasso, otherwise we could make this a Ted Lasso podcast.
Ted Lasso cast.
I thought we were making this a Val podcast, and then we went into Ted Lasso as well.
So. Pivot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Until tomorrow, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.